My scripture reading today is in Romans 10 and starting at the first verse. And I want you to pay careful attention to some of these verses, the way that they're worded, because some of these verses are verses that can confuse if they're not taken in the right context in which they were written, and if they are only said or read, looked at as a standalone verse, which we really should never do. Very much it requires reading around the verse, several verses before as a minimum, several verses after to get even close to the right understanding. So that's what we're focusing on this morning, is verses that are easily misunderstood. Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And I'd like to go then to 1 John 2, and starting with the third verse, 1 John 2, and starting with verse 3. By this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Do you see any kind of contradiction, or seemingly contradiction, in just my reading those two spots in the Bible? The first place that I read to you ended with verse 4 of Romans chapter 10. Verse 4 said, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And yet, 1 John 2, 3 through 6, lets us know the importance of keeping the commandments of God. So I want to draw your attention to those kind of things within these scripture readings. Let's go next to, as part of my scripture reading, this is my text, 2 Peter 3, and starting with verse 14. 2 Peter 3 and verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given in him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. Do you see the Apostle Peter making warnings of another apostle, the Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament. And Peter is warning you, be careful how you read and study and understand the words of Paul. And Paul, like I said, wrote much of the New Testament. And he definitely wrote really the majority of the New Testament. So with that, let's bow our heads to the Lord and go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for these words. We thank You for each one that's here. Lord, we ask You to lead and guide us in our understanding of Your Word. And Heavenly Father, let all of the things that we do be to Your praise and honor and glory. In the name of Your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask and amen. Let's also go next to Galatians 5 and verse 18. And let's see if we can get a little understanding there. Galatians 5 and 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you take just that one verse, you are not under the law. That would seem to imply we can just sort of forget about it, right? The law is the Ten Commandments of God. The law is that we discussed this morning in our Bible study, that Moses went up to the top of the mountain. He was given the law, and that was the covenant back then between God and His people. That was the royal law, and this law was given to him, written by the finger of God in the tablets of stone. And the law and the tablets being the ones that, as Moses came down from the mountain and seen what the people were doing, then in his anger, he threw them down and broke them. So you see, it's an important thing when we read verses or portions of verses that seem to be contradictory. In Galatians 5:18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But to get the proper understanding, let's read more around that and see if that is really what it does mean. Let's go and start back at verse 16 and lead into that verse. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you see? That sheds a total different light on it. It tells you exactly what Paul was saying. He's not at all saying, don't keep the law. Don't do the things that are in the law. The words were, you are not under the law if you are led by the Spirit. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not going to be doing these things, which are extensions of the law. You're not going to be going out and carousing, getting drunk, stealing, murdering, all of these things that are part of the law. Let's go to Romans 7:4, and we have more words of the Apostle Paul. Romans 7:4. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. Now, how does that strike your mind and your thoughts? You also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ. Some people just come to all kind of conclusions reading that one verse. But that's the Apostle Paul saying this. You wonder, the more you read the Apostle Paul and all of his writings, which is easy to do in the New Testament, the more you understand why Peter had the warning that he did that was so clear. Many wrestle Paul's words to their own destruction because they pick and choose. One little verse here, one little verse there. Totally can be misunderstood by just doing that. And like that one verse there, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ. But right around that same writing of Paul, let's read verse 7. That was verse 4. Let's go to verse 7. See if that explains it any better. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law, for I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Let's go to verse 12. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Does that sound like God has placed some sort of change and he's taken away the importance of the commands that he gave to Moses to bring down to the people, which are still in effect for us today? Does it sound like some kind of change had been made? So that the law is somehow now not to be obeyed? I don't think so. The Apostle Paul ends up saying the commandment is holy and righteous and good. That means every one of them. Did the Apostle Paul in that particular area of the Bible, does he make some kind of exception within God's law of picking and choosing of what is to obey, what is to be included, what is to be excluded? Because mainstream Christianity does that today. Mainstream Christianity decides what to include and what to exclude. It don't take you long to figure that out. Mainstream Christianity never mentions remembering the Sabbath day of God to keep it holy. And there's hardly no one that will say that Sunday is the Sabbath. they know that the children of Israel, nation of Israel, the Jewish people, they know that they know what day is Sabbath. And also, they know that the Catholic people and other mainstream Christianity people know what day is Sunday. And Saturday is not Sunday. And Sabbath is not Sunday. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Let's go to Colossians 2 and 16 and get a little insight there. Colossians 2 and 16. Does anybody ever judge any of you as to which day you think is special to the Lord for worship and attending church? Does anybody ever judge y'all? What about other things that you believe that they hear about? Do they make judgment about those things? Are under the law, they're in the Old Testament, they're old, they're gone, they're passed away, they're not to be done anymore. The scriptures that you will hear and read in the Bible, if you're studious, you will see that they are not done away with. Just like the Apostle Paul says, the commandment, the law is righteous, still righteous at his time. After the death of Christ, after Christ has ascended back to the Father, at the start of the Christian era, the Christian churches. Therefore, in Colossians 2:16, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food. Have you ever been judged by somebody in regard to how you believe in what you are to put in your mouth and eat or exclude from eating? Have you ever been judged in some way as being a little weird or unusual because of your dietary beliefs, habits? This verse here lets you know no one is to judge you in that. It's speaking of you. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Isn't that something? They should not judge you because the truth of the matter is that that is the truth. New moons. You know how important new moons are? To mark the first day of God's months and the full moons, which usually, you know, come about the 14th or so, 15th, middle of the month, usually marks a special day, usually marks the Passover day, an important period of time to God's people. New moons, Sabbaths, plural, not only weekly Sabbaths, but appointed days, festivals, high Sabbaths. Let's go to Colossians 3 and start with the first verse. How many has ever read in God's Word many times and it talks about a verse and it talks about someone being at the right hand of God, power, at the right hand of majesty on high. Y'all ever read that? And if you ever wondered why it just didn't come right out and say, Jesus Christ is the one at the right hand of God the Father. Have you ever wondered that? Several times it uses that expression, power at the right hand of the Father. In Colossians 3 and 1, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Does that not make you feel somewhat better? That it is one verse, at least, that lets you know what is at the right hand of God the Father. It's His one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, is at the right hand of Yahweh, the Father God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Keep seeking things above. Let's go to, what about, have you ever heard the expression of somebody throwing in anything and everything as far as something being nailed to the cross? Have you heard that expression used? Oh, that was done away with. That was nailed to the cross. I'm showing you scriptures that should let you know the royal law of God has never changed. It will not change for all eternity. We have a scripture in the Bible that lets you know that. Remember that scripture that says, not one jot or one tittle will in any wise pass away or be changed or blotted out or however you want to term it. Has heaven and earth passed away? Not one jot or one tittle shall in any wise pass from the law until all things has been fulfilled. Has all things been fulfilled? Has all prophecies happened that's to have be happened? Of course not. Most notable, Jesus Christ has not come back the second time in power and glory to fight against those nations that come up against Israel at that great day of the Lord. We know that that hasn't happened. Every eye shall see and every ear shall hear when Jesus Christ comes back that second time. Has every eye heard, eye seen, and ear heard? No. There's things to happen that has not happened. Jesus Christ fulfilled certain things, the prophecies concerning Him, the Messiah coming to this earth, the plan of salvation, revealing God the Father as a human being here on this earth. Certain things has been fulfilled. Prophecies, certain prophecies has been fulfilled. But all has not been fulfilled. We still look for certain prophecies to come about. Let's go to Colossians 2, 13 and 14. Colossians 2, 13. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Is that saying that the law of God, the royal law of God, the commands of God, has been taken out of the way and nailed to the cross? Is that what that's saying? No. It's saying your transgressions, your shortcomings, your sins has been taken out of the way as you receive salvation and receive Jesus Christ into your heart and life. And as you go through the rebirth process of being reborn, of growing each moment of each day from that time forward, those transgressions that happened before, that Jesus died on the cross for, shed his blood, received stripes and beating, all of that was for you and for me. All of that is your former life, your former way, your former habits. Those things you were forgiven of as you call on God to forgive you of those transgressions and sin. That is what was taken out of the way. But not the law, not the thou shalt not, not the guide for human man, for all human beings, for humankind. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 7 and 18. You know, a lot of people talk about circumcision as if a big change had been made and males should not be circumcised anymore. Or let's put it like they don't have to be circumcised anymore. And it all relates this to the covenant of circumcision. And we do know certain things was changed. We don't go sacrificing animals and having the blood from them to make us right with God anymore. The sacrificial system that was in effect, the Levitical priesthood. Yes, it's changed. In fact, we don't have a Levitical priesthood. We don't have a temple now in which these sacrifices would be carried on. The one perfect sacrifice has been made. And it was perfect because it only had to be done the one time. It doesn't have to be repeated. And Jesus Christ made that possible. That was a legitimate change. But why does mainstream Christianity choose to throw it all out as far as looking at it pretty much from the Old Covenant or the Law? The Old Testament, so to speak. When you say covenant or Old Covenant, the Law, mainstream Christianity wants to put it all together and throw it all out, basically, except just to use it every now and then as a little bit of history. But it's much more than history. It's a guide. It's something that makes clear and more meaningful everything that's in God's Word from the very first verse of the Bible to the very last would be so much less meaningful without all of what most people refer to as the the Old Testament. It is history, some of it. But it is very relative. Let's look at what the Word says about circumcision. 1 Corinthians 7:18. Was any man called when he was already circumcised? He is not to become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? He is not to be circumcised. And let's see how Paul sums it up. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But what matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. Does the Apostle Paul sound to you like a person that is trying to belittle the commandments of God? The one that ended up saying, as I quoted before, the commandments are holy and righteous and good, but yet mainstream Christianity will use those words of the Apostle Paul and wrestle them for themselves and their people. Complete deception. Misinterpretation. You know, I really thank God for all the men in His Word. But I many times think about the Apostle Peter and him making that so clear in the last part of 2 Timothy, where he warned you about studying the words of the Apostle Paul to make sure you're not one of the ones that wrestle the Apostle Paul's words to your own destruction. I thank God for the Apostle Peter and how he was trying to help what he referred to as his son, Timothy. Understand the scriptures that he was to bring to the people. And the Apostle Paul knew he wasn't going to be around forever. And he wanted to instruct the young minister in the proper interpretation to bring to the people. Another one that I thank God so much for is James. Faith without works is dead. Now, how important is that? What does mainstream Christianity do with that? They say it doesn't matter what you do. It's all been done for you. Jesus done it all. Just go out and party. That's what seems to be the bottom line. But your word in your Bible and my Bible tells you different. There is something to do. There is a righteous life to live. God did mean it when He said, "Be you perfect as I am perfect." He wants you to strive to be the very best that you can be. If you read any at all in the Bible, you should know that the Father God doesn't do anything haphazard. He's very specific, more specific than you and I could even possibly start to be, about everything concerning Him, concerning His house of worship, concerning your dress, concerning your conversation, concerning your commitment to Him. He wants the very best that you've got to give. And He wants you to constantly be striving to improve, to get closer to Him. But if circumcision He says, it's not necessary that you have your male circumcised in order to be right with me, in order to be in right standing with me. And I think most people, including myself and David, would say, you know, for cleanliness, it's just a common sense thing to do. But as far as whether it's going to separate you from your Creator, or mark you as one that is a child of God versus one that is not a child of God, the Apostle Paul is saying that's not the case anymore. Circumcision or uncircumcision doesn't matter. What matters is keeping God's word, keeping the commandments of God. Don't let anybody ever tell you that the Apostle Paul wrote words that justify throwing out the law, disregarding as irrelevant the Old Testament, the writings of Moses, the Torah, Psalms, the prophets. All of it is relative. All of it is in effect. It's very clear what has been done away with, if anything. And we know the sacrificial system is one main thing. And we know what we just discussed about circumcision. We need to be very careful about what we let other people say to us and us haphazardly just taking it as the gospel. We need to be very careful that we receive the truth. And whatever we receive from anyone, we need to go to God's word and reinforce it with the knowledge ourselves. Each one of us, that what we're hearing and the truth that we are receiving is really truth. That it is what God has for us. Let's go to Romans 4 and verse 13. I'm going to go ahead and end my message to you today. I hope that you've got the point, that you don't take one verse here and there and you try to then take that as the gospel, and that one verse and even sentences within the verse as being exactly what it first dawns on us that it's saying to us. Romans 4, verse 13. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there also is no violation. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants. You know how it separates God's children from the ones that's not God's children, from Jewish people, that's one that's not Jewish people, from the children of Israel, that's one that's not the children of Israel, from Abraham's descendants to the ones that are not Abraham's descendants. Know how there is a difference there? But this verse, look at it close, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Notice that verse that I was pointing out to you, the promise of Abraham being to all. Notice that, all, by faith. And then it tells you exactly what it's talking about. To those of the law and to those of the faith of Abraham. Do you see? It's not excluding, but it's gathering all into that promise that the nations shall be blessed through the descendants of Abraham. And we know we are the descendants of Abraham. We are as if we came from the tribe of Judah. We are as if we came from the nation Israel. We are the children of God. We are the sons of God. We are literal heirs of everything that was promised to Abraham and his descendants. We are descendants of Abraham. How do you know that? Just read it in Galatians. Through your belief in Jesus Christ, you are the children of God and heirs according to the promise to Abraham. If you would, stand with me and let's read God's blessing to us and our blessing to each other. It's in Numbers 6 and 24. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. That should make your whole day go a lot better to know that you have God's blessings and to know that you are a child of God. Bow your head with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we